Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
When you peel away the layers of the onion, you begin to learn more and more startling facts about this so-called Equality Act. One of the startling facts is that it will do away with religious freedom across the board. It is an astounding attempt to stifle religious freedom. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. The so-called Equality Act, H.R. 5 in the House, S. 788 in the Senate, takes the unprecedented step of eliminating, across the board, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 as a claim or a defense to the application of a host of federal laws. The bill drastically, Matt, alters religious freedom in all cases, and it's not just involving LGBT. In other words, repealing religious freedom is not limited to when the law deals with LGBT. It also applies when a church, say a Protestant church, wants to hire Protestants, when a Catholic church wants to hire Catholics, when a Jewish synagogue wants to hire Jewish people to be employed with their synagogue. Up until now, the exemptions for religious organizations like houses of worship have been there for the right to be able to make decisions regarding employment on the basis of religion. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. A Baptist church should be able to hire Baptists. A Catholic church should be able to hire Catholics. A Jewish synagogue should be able to hire Jews to be part of that synagogue, etc. But this would say, no, you can't make decisions that are based upon religion. Matt, this would result in a Jewish synagogue being forced to hire a Muslim, a Christian church being forced to hire an atheist, and so forth.
Yeah, and worse than that, it effectively bans the Bible in churches. It would ban biblical teaching. It would say that somebody, for instance, a cross-dressing man who has values that are completely anathema to the teachings of the Bible relative to in the beginning God made them male and female, if the church then, first of all, said, no, your value system is completely hostile toward biblical teaching, under this law, that would be considered discrimination. And then if they taught what the Bible teaches about sexual morality and so forth, they would have a claim for a hostile work environment. It completely would effectively negate and ban biblical teaching. So the value system of these churches would be gutted as well.
Yeah, it would. You know, historically, it makes sense that a church, let's say Baptist, Protestant, any kind of Protestant denomination, Presbyterian, whatever organization it might be, whatever denomination in the Protestant or Catholic faith. It makes sense that under the law that you would have an exemption based upon religion because that's what you are. You are making decisions based upon your faith. If you're going to hire staff members that actually are extensions of, they actually help your mission, they're part of your mission, you should be able to prefer people that are part of your faith tradition. And that's why, historically, houses of worship have been exempt from the religious discrimination provision. They're not exempt from the race discrimination, so they still can't discriminate on the basis of race. But they have historically been able to make decisions based upon religion, whereas other entities that are not churches, for example, they're under the religious discrimination provision. So if they made decisions, like a secular commercial entity made decisions on the basis of religion, it would be impermissible, just like if they made decisions hiring on the basis of race. But churches, houses of worship, are different. Who would want, Holly, to force a Catholic church to hire a Protestant church to hire Catholics, a Jewish synagogue to hire Muslims, a mosque to hire Christians, a Christian church to hire atheists. That just makes no sense. It is inimical. It is contrary to your reason for existence.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I mean, you would take for granted you have the freedom to go to a church, and the pastoral staff, the regular staff that you have, are going to follow the same gospel that you follow, the same Christian, or else face punishment. You know, think about, too, if your church has a school, you know, and you would want your teachers to also be Christians and to follow the same religious doctrine. Well, that just totally nixes this. You could go to have a Christian, quote-unquote, school and then have atheists as teachers.
Yeah, there's other exemptions that have developed in the law and have been imported into the law, actually inserted into the law as part of these non-discrimination provisions. The bona fide occupational requirement. And that is the BFQ, bona fide occupational requirement. What is that? That means that if you have a bona fide occupational requirement, you might be able to make decisions based upon race or ethnicity. Here's a clear example of that. Epcot. You go to the French pavilion. Who do they have? People that are French. The Italian, they're Italian. German, they're German. Why? Because the whole reason for that particular gathering, that employment, that restaurant, that display is all about the ethnicity of that particular country. It would make no sense to have the French pavilion and you hire non-French people, or the other pavilions and you hire people that are not authentic within that country's ethnic heritage. So that's an exemption. Churches likewise have had the exemption with regards to religion for the same kind of, but even more important reason. Mm-hmm. It's essential to who they are, what they do, their Christian mission. And yet this bill, Matt, takes it away. And in fact, Representative Jerry Nadler, it's shocking what he said, that religion cannot be the basis for discrimination. And let's use a different word. He uses discrimination. It's making decisions. Religion can't be the basis of your decision. But Matt, that is essential for churches and houses of worship.
Of course it is. So effectively what Nadler is saying here is that our postmodern view, our secularist view, trumps any freedom of religious expression. It effectively bans, makes verboten the traditional teaching of pro-life. We talked yesterday about how this bill would gut pro-life restrictions around the country and force people to participate in abortions at medical facilities. Additionally, it says that you cannot, you're in violation of law if you hold or express the biblical teachings relative to sexual morality.
Guys, this bill is like a partnership of the Human Rights Campaign and Planned Parenthood to the extreme.
An ultimate extreme secularism.
Yeah.
It really is shocking that there are so many people in the U.S. House, it's shocking, that are fundamentally wanting to erase the essential principles upon which America was based. Religious freedom. Religious freedom. Why did the founders come here? They wanted to be here for religious freedom. They were being coerced by the government in their home countries, and they came here to establish a beachhead for religious freedom. And the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution focuses on what their mission was, and that is religious freedom. You go all the way back to Christopher Columbus. He wanted to bring the gospel to a new world. The founders wanted to enshrine religious freedom as the foundation, and this particular bill guts it. And then when you look at all the different permutations, not only who you can hire, but also the different beliefs, the fundamental core doctrine of life and marriage and family, male and female, mom and dad, marriage between the man and a woman, all of that is put at jeopardy. This is a shocking bill, and I can't even begin to overemphasize this. So this is the worst bill ever to come out of Congress by no exception. This is it. But here's what we need to do. We need to stop it in the U.S. Senate. And so I'm asking you to pray and to get involved and to get your community of friends involved as well. Go to lc.org/HR5, lc.org/HR5. Learn about it. Take action. Sign the petition. We're going to deliver tens and tens of thousands of them to members of the Senate to stop this bill in the U.S. Senate. Time is of the essence.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.